Connected with Ruben Torres. It's another episode of the Connected with Ruben Torres show. Today I'm hanging out with a good friend of mine, my mentor, Bo Harrows, and he's going to share his love for making a difference in the community. And, you know, he is one of those influences that he's an influencer that influences the influencers, if that makes any sense. This guy is one of the guys, hangs out with some of the top people, and he helps them make some decisions. So he's a dear friend of mine. Love this guy to death. Before we get into his interview with him, want to let everybody know, you got to go check out my boy Anthony Medina at the SDLawFirm.com. He does a lot of stuff here in San Diego, but today we're hanging out in Modesto with Bo. But make sure you check him out, man. He's born and raised in San Diego, doing a lot of good stuff, serving the community. And as a matter of fact, he helped us start the Love Thy Neighbor movement, helping out a bunch of entrepreneurs, doing his thing. Make sure you check him out. Also, make sure you check out all the stuff we got going on at the Love Thy Neighbor movement.com. Trying to make stuff happen, Modesto, San Diego, and Tijuana. Check us out. And let's get into this with Bo. Get connected.
If you're C-O-N-E-C-T-A-D-O, you already know about the show, so let's go. It's your music and lifestyle, fashion profile, the entertainment source for everything you want to know about. North to the south, the east to the west side, stay connected with Ruben Torres worldwide, so let's go. Across the globe, well respected, beasting on the industry. Connected.
What's up, everybody? Another episode of The Connected Show, and I am out here in Modesto, California, NorCal, Central Cal, and I am up here with Bo Harrows. Harrows, however you want to say it, but I say Harrows, right? Is that how you say it, Bo? Come on.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
I'm up here with Bo. Bo, I want to make the introduction. Bo is... as some may know him up here as Bo Desto, because he knows everybody and anybody in Modesto.
Bo knows everybody.
Yeah, and so that's kind of our running thing up here. Bo is, for those that don't know, I haven't been following, you know, my relationship over here with Bo. Bo is my he's been my mentor for the past year and a half or so.
That's it. It's over.
And he lays a spiritual smackdown on me and makes sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing and not saying what I'm not supposed to be saying and all that good stuff, and make sure I stay in the word, and gives me a spiritual smackdown, right? Layeth the smacketh down. So we are out here in Modesto.
We're hungry.
We are very hungry. We've been having a busy day of doing promotion and recording podcast. Very productive day.
Yes,
very. I think productive. This is our third recording today, and then all morning today we were at Juvenile Hall. Mm-hmm. I am out here today in Modesto because I was invited by Bo and Alfred Montalvo to come and hang out over at the Juvenile Hall. Mm-hmm. Tell me about what went down today. Mr. Bo.
It was amazing to see the response of all the, you know, different ages, girls and boys, and to see they're just hungry. They're just listening. Some of them were just captivated by what was being said. And there was a variety of speakers. We had the feats of strength. We had some music. We had businessman speak. We had former, you know, inmate, and we had a really good representation of everything across the board.
UFC fighter.
Yeah, UFC fighter, from fame to, you know, from rags to riches.
Yeah, we had a handsome guy from San Diego.
We had a handsome man there with a handsome face. No, we had you, which was, let me just say, now that we're here, really appreciate you coming. You know, it means a lot. I think people are more excited about you coming than POD being here.
Yeah, right. Come on.
And no, seriously, though, I mean, people were really excited about you coming. And people were, everybody was there for one purpose. They were there to make sure that the kids knew that there's a God who loves them.
Yeah. And And there was a great turnout at the altar call.
Well, first let me say this. We fed them. Thanks to Soldiers of the Cross and to other givers online through GoFundMe and through Facebook and then just people from the church. There was a huge response, and we were able to bring two hamburgers per kid.
And some chips.
Some chips, cookies. Pastor Richard Henshu, his church came through the last minute.
Sunshine Community.
Yeah. Sunshine Community with the buns.
Sunshine.
Where's the buns? Where's the beef? They brought the buns and the cookies. And so it was just a really good presentation. Yep. And then we had the obviously the speakers and music. But yeah, man, it was just a great experience to be able to walk in there, give them spiritual food, physical food, and to see that they appreciated it.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole purpose of it was, of course, you know, one mission to give these kids Jesus. And mm-hmm. and it was a trip because we had Ben Hardister was there today, and he's the president. No, chaplain. He's the chaplain of the Soldiers of the Cross.
President.
He's the president now?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, that got easy. But, Matt, to hear him say that he spent so many years at
death row,
and then to say, man, if only we would have reached these guys before they would have made these bad choices to get them on death row. Mm-hmm. And I kind of seen like that little twinkle in his eye, like he was excited to be back, you know, where he was at, like 20 years ago, but in juvenile hall. And what's your thoughts on that? Because I mean, he's a very influential guy himself.
Yeah.
And then to hear him say something like that. What's your thoughts?
He said something to me when we were there. He said, we need to get him at this level.
Yeah.
Because then it becomes repeat offender, you know, career criminal, institutionalized, whatever. But he's right, you know, and this is, I think, the mission now that we have. We've been kind of handed this ministry of being able to.
Yeah, we got the AC kicking. Oh, it's all okay. Good.
Of being able to reach him at this place. Yeah. And one thing I was telling Dan, you know, Freeman, was that the importance of having all them there, you know, and what I saw was that it's a representation of fathers. You know, a lot of those guys are dads. And so imagine, you know, these kids don't have a relationship with their father. Obviously, they're there because something's wrong, something's broken.
Yeah.
But they were able to hear from dads. And their relationship with God depends a lot on their relationship with their fathers.
Yeah.
So I think I know that having fathers there is needed. That's what they're looking for. That's what they need. They want people to lay the smack down, you know, just not in their face, but in their hearts. They need somebody to love them. And I think that was really important.
Yeah.
And it was good to have Ben to be able to bring that fathering. He talked to them like he was talking to a teenage son. And he was real, just practical and just straight to the point. And 99% of the kids and staff were raising their hands to accept Jesus. Mm-hmm. That right there is being able to bridge communication gap, which a lot of parents struggle with nowadays. So it was really good to see him do that.
And that was Ben Hardister. I don't think he's on Facebook.
Ben and Carol Hardister, yeah. Ben and Carol, like Ben and Jerry's.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. Because Dan posted something.
Ben and Karen.
Excuse me.
Ben and Karen Hardister.
Yeah.
And Ben is also an author.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a book, which is number 4, I think,
Amazon
mm-hmm. in his category. Well, I'm not sure what the category is.
Yeah.
But he's got a book out. I can't tell you the name offhand, but it's kind of like something about a dog. And
yeah.
But we'll get back to that. We'll post that later somewhere.
Yeah, we'll post that.
But Bo and Alfred put this.
Love Thy Neighbor.
Love Thy Neighbor, Modesto chapter. Put this event together today, and there was guys. Are they Endure? What was
Team
the?
Team Endure.
Team Endure.
Yeah.
There was some worship music going on. There was Reverend Darwin Benjamin
Reverend Darwin Benjamin,
he's awesome.
Dean Johnson,
he was over there breaking bats with his thigh, and
mm-hmm.
I think he chewed a bag of rocks and blew a bubble, and he did He ripped the license plate in half and did origami with it. And he did all kinds of like these feats of strength, like crazy. He bent a rebar with his teeth. I was like, dude, my teeth would be falling out, dude.
Oh, my God.
I can't even imagine. Like, he just put, like, a pad on there, and, like, he put it on, and he just bent this bar with his friggin' mouth, right?
He captured a bolt of lightning.
Dude, I was tripping. I was like, dude, I can just imagine how much my teeth would be hurting if I even tried to do that. But anyway, like, he was doing supernatural strength stuff.
He shot at him and caught a bullet in his teeth.
Yeah. And then we had Michael McDonald, UFC fighter out there. We had the Soldiers of the Cross.
Mm-hmm.
You. Alfred. Pastor Richard Henshu and his crew. We had all kinds of a good amount of people out there. And the Juvenile Hall was really receptive to what you guys put on. They're inviting you guys to come back and do more.
Yeah.
Soldiers Across want to get more involved. And it's a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing. So thank you for inviting me and thank you for having me.
You really lit a fire under a lot of people here when you were here for that year. You really sowed a seed into the ground. And I think that when we called on everybody, we said, hey, you know, this is what we're going to do. And we put, you know, we said, we're going to fly this flag, Love the Neighbor flag. Everybody was like, yeah, let's do it. And so they've done that because, like I said, you were here. You invested in a lot of people, relationships. And so people love they love the
thank you, the
purpose, the cause, the movement.
The movement. Well, thank you, man. Thank you for continuing the movement out here. And
got to do something. I'm doing nothing.
It means a lot. No, and that's kind of my point is one of the reasons, you know, we do this podcast is hopefully to light, you know, a fire under some people, some, you know, future entrepreneurs and some other influencers that want to get involved in some, you know, in some projects with a purpose. But Bo, what Bo does and what Bo's been doing out here is he has the mentality of, hey, I might not reach a million people, but I'm going to reach the one or two that do reach the millions or the thousands or hundreds or whatever it may be. But Bo is an influencer to the influencers. And you know, you've done a lot of behind the scenes stuff for some of the churches. I've seen you personally in action with some of the churches out here and one of the biggest churches in Modesto and definitely one of the most influential churches in Modesto. And even like some of the smaller churches like out in Turlock and that kind of stuff. And you have this mind state for how churches should work and their social media and their pictures, and you do all this stuff that needs to be done for churches. So, you know, props for doing that.
Thanks.
But what do you see are some challenges for some of the churches?
You know, this is a really tight community. You know, Modesto's a small town. It's got a small town mentality. So the challenge is just being, like we've been talking about, being authentic, having integrity, and I would say being real. Like, you can walk into a church and it's uber hyper spiritual, and there's a crowd for that. And then you get a church that's really ghetto, there's a crowd for that. But you really have to be able to reach everybody, and that's what Jesus was, right? He was a master at communicating with people. Right. Nobody walked into his teachings, walked out like, was this guy saying, why was he saying that? You know, feeling offended. You know, if they did, it was because he was trying to get that spirit or that way of thinking, you know, changed. Yeah. So Jesus wasn't
Jesus.
He wasn't starting a rebellion, is what he was. A revolutionary, and he caused people to think differently. You know, the world thinks a certain way and they act a certain way. The kingdom of God is really backwards. The world says get, God says give. The world says keep, God says, you know, lose it. So I think a lot of churches out here, the challenge is just getting out of that box of, and I hate to be, using, you know, cliche, but box of, we want to cater to this kind of person. Mm-hmm. It becomes really cliquish, you know. Yeah. And what happens is a lot of people who really need God walk into a church and walk out disappointed because they don't understand the culture that's been, you know, kind of boxed in there. And that's not how heaven's going to be. You know, you're going to be there. You're going to feel welcome, even if you, you know, you don't are not into prophecy or into, you know, the visions and dreams and all these things. You're going to be there because, you know, your God loves you. Hmm. And none of that other stuff's really going to matter.
And do you think that there's some pastors that are...
That was a good question, too, that are, by the way.
That are closed-minded to some of, like, changes that need to happen? Because, you know, in a sense, like, you kind of got to... I don't want to use the word evolve, but, you know, you change with the times. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying doctrine. I'm just saying, like, social media, yeah. Pictures, skinny jeans, and that kind of stuff. But you know what I'm saying, though? Yeah. It's like...
You know what I want to see? Let me just jump in here right now.
I want to see a church without skinny jeans.
I want to see people be themselves.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
You know, and stop trying to emulate church so-and-so.
Yeah.
We got to have their music, or we got to have their stage, or we got to talk like them, or we got to, you know, pray like them. And there was a kick for a while where people were going, you know, he's Papa God.
Oh, God. Yeah, I've heard that.
or like, yay, God. Or just different little, like, sayings and
I've even heard
quirky things.
I've even heard people say, oh, well, he's the white T.D. Jakes, or he's the, you know, whatever, and, like, yeah. Comparing yourself to that. And I was like, well, for real? Like, yeah. that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, my second favorite pastor, Glenn Berteau.
Yeah, yeah.
You work pretty close with him. And
yeah.
You introduced me to him. And
yeah.
He's a great guy. Tell me about your relationship with him.
Pastor Glenn's a mentor to me. He believes in me. You know, he's had me come up at just random times, you know, and not lately, but in the past and stuff. And I've traveled with him. And he's just the kind of guy looking in the eyes and be like, why are you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? Very much a coach, and but very much a man of, you know, he is the person he is on the stage, off stage. He's the same man.
Same man.
Yeah, you're not gonna get something different, and very funny, and so he's been a mentor to me, and I've learned a lot from him, and he has a lot of good people around him. You know, a lot of good men around him and leaders. And so I've been able to really increase my walk with God, my levels of understanding, and just learn a lot about communication, leadership. He challenges us every week, you know, to change something, to go higher, to, you know, to really press in more and really just to keep walking, you know, to keep walking this walk. So, love the man.
And he's also, I remember a while back, you kind of took on the doing the new believers class over at that church for a little bit.
iConnect. I was doing that for a while. He picked like 10 people in the beginning, and I was fortunate. I was blessed to be one of those people. So, yeah, we were seeing the altars, you know, just full. And then those people would come to a class on Sunday morning or Monday night or whatever it was, and we would teach them and disciple them. And yeah, so it was a privilege to be able to see all the new believers come in. You know, some people had been walking with God, they fell away, or some people were brand new. And of course, we love the brand new ones because everything we said, they were hanging on the edge of their seat, you know, or you would hear them quoting or, you know, or writing something down that you said. So that was really fun. That was a lot of fun.
Do you find, like, having someone as seasoned as Glenn Berteau, do you find it difficult working with, different styles of pastors to where you're like, man, like, why aren't you teachable? Why are you so stuck in your ways? Why? Because, I mean, you could say, dude, this is what we're doing over at the house and it works over here. You know, maybe we should try to apply certain things or certain ways to promote or certain, you know, ways to be on Facebook or take pictures or whatever that works.
Yeah.
Do you find that some pastors aren't very, you know, like they kind of shy away from taking your advice?
There's different kinds of people. So I'll say it like this. You know, there's people that are visionaries. They got ideas. There's idea people. They have all these great ideas. Then you got people who, you know, they do, you know, the things that you vision, There's different kind of people out there, and some people are just believers in that their way is the right way. So I don't get frustrated with people. I want to help. So when I, even if I'm on vacation, like if I go to a church and I'm on vacation, I'll watch and see what the pastor's doing or what people are doing so I can learn something. I don't think everybody's like that, though. I don't think everybody goes and tries to learn. I think people just go to get fed sometimes. But you can't make anybody do anything. You can offer your advice, but it's better when it's taken, you know, when someone asks you for it. And working with pastors, it's a lot like having friendships, you know. Some pastors are really good friends with you and they want your advice. Some pastors are friends with you and they don't care what you say. So you know, you'd hope that when something was obvious or that something was detrimental, that when you tell somebody something in the right heart, that they'd receive it and they'd act on it. But I really can't say that. I'm my job is not to like criticize or say there's only one way to do it. I'm a problem solver, you know, and I think a lot of people see that and they notice that when they meet me. And so a lot of people ask me, you know, what do you think about this? And sometimes you got to be honest. Hey, yeah. that doesn't work, or you need to have someone else do this for you.
Or this other church tried this and that didn't work for them.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to work for you either.
Yeah. So fortunately for me, I've been, you know, I was raised in this town, so I know a lot of pastors here. And, you know, I've got a chance to preach at an apostolic church. I got a chance to preach at a Catholic church. I've been all over California, and, most pastors, when I talk about most pastors, smaller churches, pastors, they want to hear, you know, hey, how can I change this or what can I do? Because they know we go to the house, you know, they know I'm around Pastor Glenn, but I don't really promote like, oh, I'm around Pastor Glenn. I just say, yeah, if you want my advice, I'll tell you what we're doing, you know. And it's just an honor to be able to be at one of the greatest churches in the world.
Yeah.
It's an honor to serve. I've learned a lot about serving, and it's not about being an errand runner. It's not about being a slave. Yeah. You know, slaves only do what you tell them to do. Servants go above and beyond. So I consider myself a servant.
Now, and you mentioned Pastor Berteau, he's like kind of mentored you.
Mm-hmm.
How important to you is it to have a mentor?
It's very important. You have God, you know, in your life, and you talk to him and you read his word. And then you have men in your life like Pastor Glenn, whether it be from the pulpit or privately, who will challenge you, you know, or who will ask you questions, the tough questions, you know. And all the people on staff at the church, all the men that I know that I talk to, they're all like that. They're all very transparent, very real. They have his DNA. Right. It's very important to have, you know, not just the vision, but to also, you know, emulate, if you will, kind of who it is. I'm not saying copy them, but the way they are, the way they handle things, the how they live life, faith, you know, their walk with God, you know, it's biblical, you know, imitate me as I imitate Christ, you know. And so I believe as much in having a mentor as anything. I mean, I didn't feel like I was being a mentor to you, you know, at first. I just thought that's what God's telling me something, so I'm going to say it, you know. If you take it and you run with it and you appreciate it, then it blesses you.
Yeah.
Or you can always punch me in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but mentoring, I think it's huge
now. In the neck.
you can try. It's huge, and we need more. I think we need a ton more of that.
Yeah, it's a question that I ask to everybody every time I have somebody on the show. I always kind of ask about mentoring. Most people they bring it up because they know the importance of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, to me, it's like, you know, I didn't come out here seeking a mentor, and you're right, it just kind of mm-hmm. happened. But then you realize, like, dude, how much you can learn and how much you can teach other people.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody else that you're currently mentoring?
I have a couple people. Yeah, my son.
Oh, yeah. Son.
My son. And honestly, there's a Ish. You know, he's a very talented
musician.
Musician. I had one of my son's friends, I won't say his name, but he used to come to my house just at random times. And this was an understanding we had. And I don't hang out with my son's friends, but they would come to the house and stuff. So he was the one that would stay over, not over the house, but stay late when everybody left. So eventually, you know, he just say, hey, if I have a problem, can I ask you about it? I said, yeah, sure. And then so next thing you know, he's driving up to the house by himself when no one's around. Like, my son's not there, and he's knocking on the door. And I'm like, why is this kid here, you know? And, well, I have a question for you. I just want to ask you this. And there's this girl, blah, blah, blah. So I'd sit him down. And I, you know what I would do? And I think this is really important, and I'll make it emphasize this, is that when I was talking to him, I look him in the eyes. I didn't make it seem like he wasn't important. Because mentors, I believe that, you know, it's a connection. You know, it's like you should be kind of, you should know the person, right? In kind of an intimate way. So I look him in the eyes. And when I tell him something, I tell him like I was telling my son, you know? And I think that's what kept him coming back. He knew I really cared. I wasn't just telling him just something flippant thing to just go and get him out of my hair. You know, I really cared. That's the difference. And I feel that with Pastor. And that's what I think that's what I give to people. I listen, but I really care about the situation, and I really want to help.
Yeah, and
that's, what do you think?
That's I was going to say that. I think it is one of those.
How
things.
How does that make you feel?
I think it's one of those things too, where I'm like, okay, well, you, not only do you say what you say sincerely, but with the passion, and I think because of the passion that you say things in, it does make you feel like, oh man, this guy cares. You know what I'm saying? And it's different when you have a mentor that it's kind of just robotic, and someone's kind of going through the you know, the motions of, oh yeah, I'm just telling you this because what I'm supposed to tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you're supposed to listen to me.
Yeah, or it's like, no, this guy, he cares about my family, and you know, you've invested in our friendship and our relationship.
That's a good point.
Very good point. Very good point, man.
I like when you say that, because that's another part of mentoring is invest. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, don't let me stop you.
But so anyway, you know, I come up to Modesto. Everybody knows you. You know everybody.
No, I don't know everybody.
Yeah. And so I think one of the parts of I think you're kind of a like a king networker up here. And I think one of the things of networking that you've kind of mastered is it's not even the cold call. I don't know why I say the cold call, but it's kind of like the cold walk up. Like, you just kind of walk up to
the
anybody.
Shotgun.
Yeah, you just walk up to anybody. Hey, this is who we are. This is what we need, and you need to give it to us. And you make it happen. How does that work for you? Like, tell me about that. Like,
you want to give all my secrets right now?
Yeah. Tell me.
Oh, man.
How does that work?
Oh, so, you know, let's go back to that incident, or that, not incident, but let's talk about that moment.
Incidents. There's been plenty of those. Plenty of those.
There was that time where we went to that. No, there was a time where you were trying to get a hold of somebody, and I'm going to use this as a reference. And then, you know, I think you were just ready to move, to just, you know, move on with your life, and if you will, like, not even try to get in hold, touch of this guy. And I said, did you unplug me?
No,
I heard it, I heard something different. So anyway, we were driving by the restaurant where he was at, and you were like, "Nah, just forget it." You know, this is.
Yeah.
So I was like, "No, let's. If he's here, let's stop and let's see if we can get him." So I remember we walked in the restaurant, and the waitress came up to us, because it was like a private little area they're in, and there was like a bunch of people around that guy, and I went to the waitress and I said, "Hey, we're here to see." So, is he here?
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, he's over there. And I seen that he had a crowd of people around him. I said, can you just tell him that, you know, that we're here to see him? So she went over there and she like whispered to him. And he had people playing guitar and stuff around him.
Yeah, a bunch of musicians around him.
So next thing you know, she's like, oh, he says get a table. He'll be right there. So then when he sat down, I just went right into, because I know business people are very get to the point, you know. And I think when it comes down to it, people know that if you don't know them, okay, here's the key. If you don't know somebody and you're going to approach them, they know it's because you want to ask them a question. You know, it's obviously something that you need, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing with celebrities. They know already you're going to ask them for a picture or autograph. So you just get right to the point. I'm not pulling no punches with you. I'm just going to tell you straight out what we're here for. And the other thing is you do it in a nice way. You know, you just go, hey, we're here for this. You know, we've been trying to get a hold of you. Can we have this conversation? If not, okay, we'll move on. But at least we know. There's no more guessing of like, why doesn't he want to talk to me or why can't we have this meeting? And for me, the whole thing with the approach is, again, sincerity. Like meeting people that I don't know or whoever it is, just walking up to them, just being real.
Yeah, and you have this gift of
I wouldn't call it a gift.
Of asking for stuff and people give it. Dude, so you know, and that's a blessing in itself too, man. So, you know, working with, you know, different and I can see why pastors or you know, different ministries and organizations, you know, hit you up and, hey, can you hook this up, or do you know anybody that does this, or, you know, and I get a lot of that in San Diego. Mm-hmm. But, you know, coming up here, I'm like, dude, I don't know this guy, or I don't know anybody or whatever. And you're kind of like the me up here, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, kind of on steroids up here, you know. But, yeah, you're me on steroids up here.
Thank you.
Both connected up here. Bonected is something like that. No, we got to figure that out. But anyway,
oh my God.
I came up here and you know, we've been talking, you know, for a while before I actually came up here, and
it was a dream, I think.
And yeah, and you showed interest in wanting to fly the Love Thy Neighbor flag up here.
Yeah, I think it was just God ordained thing, and I can't say that I mean, you say I'm you up here, but I'm me, and I, you know, got a lot. My hands are a lot. My hands are
in, you know,
a
lot of things. Yeah, come on.
A lot of things, and so I try to do my best to keep, you know, that alive. And it's tough out here because there's not as much resources, but that's no excuse. I mean, there's people that like soldiers. You know, they want to be a part of the things we're doing. So I appreciate that relationship.
You know, but you can't take being in Modesto, like, oh, it's small out here, it's mm-hmm. not that many resources. Like, you can't take that for granted, because what's going on up here is I don't have, like, what you have up here, I don't have down there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't.
Which is why I'm telling you to come up here.
But it's vice versa, too.
Yeah. So if we could just cut the state in half,
so yeah.
Take the middle out. And push it together. And
so that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't have like just the end to go hang out every Sunday over at the juvenile hall.
Mm-hmm.
And you got that, mm-hmm. and you're there, and you do that, and you work with these kids. And at the same time, it's like, you know, you're in with the pastor of the biggest church, I think it was the number one fastest growing church in America. Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, you're in like that. And there's a lot of organizations that are here that are actually doing stuff that, you know, I think about and I'm like, man, I wish that there was organizations like this in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
You got Nineveh.
Yeah.
Tell me about Nineveh.
Nineveh, 14 cities. They take food and clothes and even medical. They do some treatment. They do dental, a dental van, a medical van. They do bikes. They give bikes out. They do a lot in Modesto and in surrounding cities. It's 14 cities and growing. You know, a lot of people are in need. So, you know, that Nineveh Outreach does, they do millions of dollars in groceries, millions of dollars in everything. They got doctors from the church that donate their time, you know, dentists from the church that donate their time, dentists and doctors. So they're doing a lot in Modesto. They just go, they set up shop at a park. People come to them and they minister.
Yeah, I've actually volunteered for some of that.
Yeah.
And me and my family, we volunteered to bag up some of the groceries as well. And then
how good of a feeling is that?
It's awesome. And, you know, just instilling that in the kids is mm-hmm. a big deal. And
that's,
you know,
what dads should do.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We should do
take their kids to
do a march and make sure that all the dads are done. But also you have like the gospel mission.
Yeah.
You know,
Kevin Carroll.
Yeah. And there's, tell me about that.
Kevin Carroll and gospel mission have been around for like, I think 100 years or 50 years or 75 years. Let's just say the long time.
Yeah, long time.
A long time. And man, they have a program where they can take anybody that's been homeless off the street and really get them back on their feet, give them a place to stay, food, their programs to teach them vocation, you know, get them some education. And now they have a woman's home that they're about to build. They're about to go into the planning stage of that. And so they're doing a tremendous thing out here. And, you know, Kevin's this Modestan, been here for a long time. Just a tremendous ministry. They have, you know, pretty much a city block here in Modesto where they can help people out.
Yeah. And last December, you had a toy drive out here.
You had a toy drive out here.
And the toys went to the gospel mission.
Yeah. Last year, you brought Sonny from POD to the mission. Was it last year?
It was last year. It's 2014.
That was last year. Yeah, you brought him here.
Tell me about that day.
No, you tell me about that day.
Hey, I'm the one asking the questions.
You're the one asking the questions. Okay.
That got easy.
Okay, so it was really cool. I mean, that's your friend, your good friend from a long time. And he came and he just supported, you know, you were here and you were living here, supported the Love That Neighbor movement by shaking hands, kissing babies, you know, and did the event at the church. We had about 1,000 people show up and gave a really good, you know, message about his life. And then came to the mission, you know, walked around, toured it, and really fell in love with what they're doing there. And then he came back just Thursday night. Kevin was there. And
that was kind of a cool reunion.
It was neat.
I mean, I missed it, but.
No, it was cool. It was like you were there, though, in spirit.
All right.
Yeah, it was
that
like
works.
You were there.
That works.
The Jedi version of you, the blue version of you was there.
That works. My hologram was there.
Yeah, it was cool. We had a good time, man. And I appreciate Sonny, you know, that connection with you and him and you bringing him here. So it was good. It was really good, but you know they're doing a great thing over there.
Yeah. Well, which brings us to the Soldiers of the Cross.
Soldados.
The clubhouse here.
The clubhouse.
And then we had the clubhouse. And then we had.
I'm hungry.
We had the event. I'm starving too. We had the event.
What time is it?
Come on, man. We had the event here in December. It's 8:30.
Okay.
Okay. We had the event here in December.
Yeah.
What is that? Sounds.
It's your phone. It's your phone.
It's your phone.
No, it's yours. Yours is right there.
Decarisi. Okay, so we had an event here in December, which we had a art show, mm-hmm. bike show, mm-hmm. Graffiti battle,
toy drive,
you name it.
Taco.
What are you going to do this year? What are you doing this year?
Man, I think
Love Thy Neighbor Toy Drive here.
Love Thy Neighbor Toy Drive here would be good. I was talking to Kevin. I want to do something in the parking lot over there.
That would be good.
Yeah, I was telling him that you were talking about that. Something to toy drive ish. And of course incorporate, you know, these guys because they have a heart for kids too. But I want to meet a need. That's what I really want to do. Toys are great. Do not get me wrong. I do not mind. I love toys. I have toys.
Well, there's a need right here in this backyard, right here in the airport district.
So everybody give us a lot of money so we can help these kids out.
Yes.
No, but seriously, I want to meet a need. There's got to be, you know, something that we can really do to really put a dent in this community, like here in this community, whether it be giving out toothbrushes, I don't know, something that really helps. Toothbrushes are probably bad, but.
You know what I mean.
Something good. And help them to take back the community. Help them to feel empowered, like we say, empowered, inspired. Mm-hmm. And I want to do something geared towards Christmas time, making a difference.
And so by taking the Love Thy Neighbor flag, you just did this thing today. What other plans you got in Modesto?
What other plans do we have in Modesto? Well, we're going to continue to do the juvenile hall thing quarterly. Bringing in guests.
Are you still doing every Sunday down there, or
once
a month or something?
Probably once a month is probably the best way to describe that, because I just got my hands in so many things right now. But definitely quarterly, being able to put an event on there, because we have that availability, and to bring in people like yourself, people like, you know, Sonny, or someone that can help us to keep hammering away at that. you know, that that demographic of people that's in there helping them out, not hammer, but, you know, helping them.
Yeah. Well, you know, as a as an influencer, I usually say that.
You have a lot of good sayings.
Do I? As an influencer.
As an influencer.
You know, I get asked, what, you know, about my strengths and weaknesses.
Oh, Lord.
And so, you know, I kind of have the same answer for both. But what would you say your strengths and weaknesses are as being an influencer and influencing the city in the positive way that you have?
Why do you want to know this? No, I'm just kidding. No, that's a good question. Strengths, not afraid.
That for sure.
Not afraid of anything.
Not afraid to get rejected.
Anybody. Yeah. No is not an answer that I want to hear, but at the same time, I know when to back, you know. Anyway, so not afraid. Strength would be that. What more than one or just one?
That, what, tell me a strength and tell me a weakness.
Okay, a weakness. I, at the same time,
I don't want to hear chocolate cake. That's not, chocolate cake is not a weakness. I'm talking about, you know, about what you do here. What is a weakness? What could Bo work on as an influencer here? What's a weakness?
A weakness is sometimes I try to be too much in the back. You know, you've always challenged me. So, yes. Like, I'm a mentor to you. You've been a mentor to me. Let's not get it twisted, or let's not leave that out. So,
I'm still waiting for your podcast.
Okay.
And this is how easy it is. See?
Yeah, I see that. I really like that. That's cool. But not being such a back, you know, being the guy that stands in the back. Today, I was helping in the back. And I kind of felt like I was missing the importance of it. You know, there's two types of people in ministry. There's Mary and there's Martha. And I'd say Mary was the one who was sitting at Jesus' feet. You know, she took advantage of the moment. She was there in the moment. She, well, where else would you want to be when Jesus was in the room? Why not sitting at his feet, listening to him, looking at him? And then there was Martha, who wanted everything perfect, who was busy making the food, who was busy in the kitchen preparing, you know. Not saying either one of those are wrong, but sometimes you have to be Mary, you know, in ministry, and sometimes you got to be like Martha. But the combination of both is understanding, you know, hey, right now I need to be over here.
Yeah.
And so today I noticed that that was kind of the way.
Today you were Martha Bo.
Martha Mary Bo. I was both.
I think that's part of being an influencer and having the influence and influencing others is that you also aren't afraid to, yeah, you can go up and speak to anybody and not be afraid to be rejected, but you also aren't afraid to do what other people may not want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And today you were out in the hot sun. I took a picture of you barbecuing while everybody else was in the AC, you know, talking to the kids.
I burnt my hair.
I know. I see. I could smell it still. But you were at the grill and you were grilling hamburger patties.
I burned about four of them.
Yeah, while everybody else was doing stuff and
not to toot the horn. I mean,
no, but that shows a lot. And it, you just did it just because you were asked to. You didn't.
Well, I was going to do it.
And it wasn't like a hey, look at me, because. Right. You were nowhere to be seen for anybody to.
I was more in prison than the prisoners.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, and speaking of, you also went with me to Soledad State Prison.
Mm.
And
we're going to talk about that now.
And that was an experience of a lifetime. And, you know, I won't even talk about our experience.
We're going to talk about that. People are going to hear this.
Being afraid in the bathroom.
Being afraid together.
Okay,
holding each other.
Go ahead. Tell the story real quick.
I'm going to tell part of it, and then you tell the rest of it.
All right, go.
Real
go
quick. Ahead. We had to go to the bathroom. We were in the gymnasium with, like, what?
In Soledad State Prison.
In Soledad State Prison.
It was like 300, 400 prisoners.
Oh, it was at least 400 people, prisoners, all these hard guys. And it was a gymnasium with a stage, and there was a band on the stage.
A jazz band.
Wearing Soledad State Penitentiary clothing.
Yeah.
And so we had to go to the bathroom. They had to open up a gate for us on the side of the stage where no one could see.
Yeah.
And then told us the bathrooms are over there.
Yeah.
while we walk into the bathroom.
And the guard walks away.
Yeah.
The
guard and there was only one guard with us. And then while the guard walks away, you know, there was two bathrooms, no door.
Yeah, it's creepy.
And then we both walk into bathrooms.
Different bathrooms,
and then you could pick it up from there.
And so
Quentin Tarantino style.
And so I'm in the bathroom, and then this, like, music comes on. And the only way I can explain it is that it was like a Quentin Tarantino style movie. And so here I am, you know, I whipped it out and I'm peeing and I hear this music and I feel like someone's going to come in and just violate me.
Or shank you.
Yeah, or do something. So I'm like, oh my God, I got to hurry. So
and meanwhile.
And I'm like, dude, let me get out of here. And I, you know, I didn't want to wash my hands and all this. So I'm like, I get out and I go and I look for Bo, and Bo tells me that he's feeling the same way, and we just both like looked at each other, kind of freaked out, and this music was still going on, and it was a weird
old tiled bathroom.
Yeah,
no lights like in the area we're at.
Yeah, so we had to leave the door open.
Yeah, it was creepy, man.
It was weird.
We're lucky we got out of there alive.
It was crazy.
It was.
But yeah, we went out to Soledad State Prison together, and just being out here has opened a lot of doors for ministry and stuff for me, because I wasn't really as involved in ministry opportunities as I was before I came up here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, thank you for kind of allowing me to
thank you
break out of my shell to do some of that.
Thank you
stuff.
For making me hungry today.
And I personally haven't eaten a bite all day.
I had a shake.
I just had this energy drink right here.
But, yeah.
But anyway.
But a lot of fun.
Love Thy Neighbor, Modesto, is Bo, and you know, I appreciate you taking the name, the flag, the everything, and just kind of flying it up here. Mm-hmm. and making it mean more. What does Love Thy Neighbor mean to you?
Love Thy Neighbor means, it means a lot, because I didn't have anything like that. I was preaching and stuff like that, but that only benefited me at the end of the day, because I was the one who felt like, you know, hey, I touched somebody or whatever. But
excuse me? What was that? What?
You know, like when you talk or you preach, you may talk to somebody, someone maybe get saved or healed, but in the end you kind of feel like, oh man, I really did a great thing, you know. But with Love Thy Neighbor, I can see people, you know, getting help or getting a word or a community being affected. I don't mean it in a, you know, we're doing something more than just preaching something.
Yeah.
And
actions.
Yeah, it was honestly, preaching, it's a great experience to stand there and see people's lives change. And I'm not taking nothing away from that, but I'm saying I feel like I'm doing more than I was before, because it's like we have your vision happening, not just there, you know, touching people in TJ with the toys and, you know, the movement of being able to go out and inspire and empower people and help people out with the needs and the community, but also, you know, seeing you know, them go from not having hope or whatever it may be to now feeling like, you know, they're important. They have a reason for being here. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Okay. It makes sense. No, but you know, I appreciate it, and I thank you for.
And plus, you're really cool.
I'm doing that,
so I get to say I can hang out with you.
Yeah, that's not it at all. But no, you know, you're an influencer up here, and people listen to you.
I don't think of myself that way.
Well,
but like I'm saying, I'm trying to now, since I'm around you more, you mentor me.
It's one of those things where sometimes, you know, I know I've told you this before in the past. Mm. Sometimes someone else needs to hold up the mirror for you and say, "Look, this is what you look like." Dude. You
know what I'm saying? I don't know if that's a good thing.
And someone
did you know you look like this?
Someone needs to tell you sometimes, like, "Hey, this is who you are, and this is what you're doing, or this is what you do for people." And you need to realize it, that you have this effect. And sometimes it doesn't always work that way, you know. Mm-hmm. But no, you know, you've got that, and I think you need to continue using that, you know. But, you know, it was cool. You know, you've introduced me to a lot of people up here, and you know, I try to stay in contact with everybody, even if it's just shooting them a message. And it's crazy, man, because just people that I've met one time, you know, and I still keep in contact with.
Yeah, they talk to you more than they do me.
Yeah, like Jack Paper, you know, I'm going to be interviewing him.
Awesome.
Probably hopefully tomorrow. Brandon Panera,
okay.
You know, all these guys like that yeah. you introduced me to, and I'm like, man, what a trip. And, you know, I still kind of keep in contact with these guys. And,
yeah, Dan.
And, yeah, Dan Freeman, Michael McDonald, Soldiers mm-hmm. of the Cross, Glenn Berteau, Micah Berteau,
mm-hmm.
all these guys, like influencers, people that are making a difference and have a purpose with what they're doing mm-hmm. as well. So you are you know, the man that influences the men that influence many.
Thank
so,
you.
So, you know, keep doing what you do, man, and keep flying the Love Thy Neighbor flag, because it means a lot to me as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know I probably already talked your ear off for almost an hour here.
No, but, it's fine.
But, you know, we're here in Modesto. This is your town. A lot of good stuff going on here with, you know, Soldiers of the Cross, mm-hmm. the House Church, the Modesto Gospel Mission. I know that there's a couple other ministries that we're probably forgetting, but, mm-hmm. You know, everything you guys are doing over at the Juvenile Hall mm-hmm. and everything else that you're always involved in with all these other, you know, churches and pastors and, you know, helping them, you know, with their social media ministries and photos and
yeah, we got a big service we're doing in Sacramento too with Daniel Galeana. I got two churches coming together, Armenian church and a Kenyan church.
Wow,
they're going to come together in November.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's a crazy combo.
It is. It's going to be really crazy.
And also you're involved with YP, the youth.
Yeah.
What is it? Youth Pastors.
Youth Pastors Conference. Pastor Glenn's legacy. He's taking 2 days a year to bring youth pastors, leaders, young preachers from all over the country and the world, and for 2 days just imparts, you know, wisdom right. and knowledge.
I've been to one of those.
Yeah,
and,
you were.
And it is.
You're a different
awesome.
Man because yeah. of that.
I took a lot of notes.
You did.
Took a lot of notes.
I seen the smoke coming up yeah. the pen.
So.
I got the disc in the car for you too.
No, perfect. I'm gonna take that and listen to it on the way home. I got 8 hours. So
there you go.
What is your involvement with that?
Well, we're gonna be this year. Chris Hill's gonna be here. So if you want more information on that, you go
see
to
see that basketball player from.
that's not Chris. No. You're talking. you're talking about.
I don't know.
Grant Hill.
I don't know a lot of these people that you talk about. You always mention all these pastors and all this stuff,
oh,
and I'm just like, dude, I have no idea.
Oh,
dude.
Man.
All I know is...
You're the only person that can make me, like, cry when I laugh.
All I know is David Jeremiah. He's my favorite pastor yeah. in the whole world.
Yeah.
I know Glenn Berteau. I know Miles McPherson, Pastor Sergio.
Yeah.
I know a handful, and that's about it, dude. You know, I don't...
So, yeah, so Chris Hill, he's T.D. Jake's spiritual son from the Potter's House, you know,
okay.
in Dallas. You know that name.
I'll buy that, yeah.
And he's going to be here this year. We're going to again do 2 days. But actually, we're doing something different this year because we're going to have on Wednesday night.
Wait, so this guy's coming to speak to the youth?
No, he's
youth pastors.
Youth pastors, okay. Young preachers, and leaders.
Okay.
So it's all about raising up a generation of young preachers, young pastors, young leaders. Okay. So he's going to come in this year. But on Wednesday night, we're going to have all those people that come in sit in the Wednesday night service that he's going to be preaching at. So it's going to be
Pastor Chris Hill. Okay.
So it's going to be like a real, like a lab session, okay. But he's going to do his thing, you know.
Live. Yeah.
yeah. And nice. So then they're going to do like another session with him.
He's going to do a basketball thing too, a little demo or something.
Dunk contest. No.
Basketball clinic.
No, he's going to come in, he's going to preach, and they're going to get a chance to really, you know, see it all unfold and be a part of it. And then we'll go into a session with him, just a real intimate setting. But yeah, this year, 2016, coming up, YP.com, and it's going to be great. Really, really information. Good, a lot of good information.
And you...
Oh, so what I do?
Yeah, what's your involvement
okay, what's,
in YP?
The question is, what the heck am I doing? So just really the back end, you know, the marketing side of it. To the social media, and actually we're going to be doing something really cool. We're going to do a launch team. So should I talk about that?
Yeah.
Okay. The launch team is going to be taking youth pastors and really have them take ownership of inviting people, their groups. So as they promote it, we're going to give them incentives. Mm-hmm. So they'll take to the social media, the street team thing, and take the social media and promote and get rewarded for it by adding likes, of course, inviting people, getting them to sign up. Mm-hmm. So each one's going to have a certain amount of people that they're going to commit to bringing to the event.
And is this a free event? Or is this
not a free event.
Register?
Nothing's free.
I'm learning that.
No, it's going to be a conference where you're getting materials for...
Sure, keep going.
You're getting materials for your prize. Plus, like I said, a lot of information.
So it's not a free event, and you're paying.
You're paying for two days.
Former NFL stars, and Pastor Glenn.
No, you're paying to hear Pastor Glenn and also the knowledge, the wisdom, Pastor Glenn.
Okay, hey, that way. So what's your take
what do you
home?
Get?
Yeah, what do you get to take home?
You can take on experience.
I'm learning from all this.
Well, with any conference, there's cost involved. Right.
Is this conference once a year?
Once a year, 2 days. There's cost involved. We definitely want to make sure that
the rental of the facility.
Yeah, the facility, the electric bill, whatever it may be that they need to do. But it's guaranteed. Whatever you invest in it, you're going to get back for years, because the knowledge you'll get, the things you'll hear, will definitely take any ministry from, let's say, what everybody wants to do, take a city, take kids back from the kingdom of darkness, and you'll be able to learn effective ways to do that, ways that have been just proven by Pastor Glenn. He had the largest youth group when he was with Jimmy Swaggart Ministry, like 1,500 kids or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's one of the largest youth groups in America. So he learned a lot, and he's a really good teacher.
Mm-hmm. And from being around him and learning from him, what would you say is some of the stuff that you've learned from him and tried to teach other pastors or try to instill in other pastors that that is like the number one thing for you, or like, dude, this is what he does that works for him, this is what you should try?
Mm-hmm. I would say and I haven't really mastered it all the way, because he's the master of it when it comes to doing that. But his communication style, his preaching, his concepts, the way he arranges and organizes things. One of the things he always says is that you should be able to give your title at any point in the sermon and it makes sense. It's not just a bunch of stories. And the other thing is a word explosion. So have scripture to back up what it is you're trying to drive home. And to kind of be able to discern what's happening in a service, and to be able to give people what they need versus, well, this is my plan, And pastors nowadays, I was at I can't say, this is not a bad thing, but it was an observation. I was at a church one time, and the pastor preached, but he kept his eyes closed the whole time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so things like that are...
That's kind of crazy.
It may be a small thing to somebody, like, oh, he just had his eyes closed, but it's a big thing in the end, because... you want to be able to discern what's happening.
And it's a lack of connection.
Yeah, people want to go somewhere where they feel like they matter. So it may not seem like a big deal to you, oh, he just kept his eyes closed. No, it's, can you really be effective? I was talking to one of the guys at the juvenile hall, who's the supervisor, and he was saying, understanding your crowd, that's very important.
Yep.
So it's just like with you, with this, you got to understand what it is they want. And if you can't give it to them, they'll go somewhere else.
Yeah. So, in dealing with all these churches and different pastors, what would you say has been their biggest, what gets them to the point where they're like, man, I need some help, I don't know. I mean, is it that they're starting up and they don't know what to do? Or is it that they've grown so much that they don't know what to do next?
You sound funny. You don't sound as...
Hit a stump or something.
It's both.
What do you mean I sound funny?
Now you sound different than the time you did before.
Oh, God. All right.
Now you sound good now. Sounds really deep.
All right. I just got to, you know, take my, my voice.
Put some bass in it. Put some bass in it. You know, that's both. It's both things. It's like people are getting started and they ask you, you know, what can I do to get to hit the ground running? And the other thing is that they're failing. And they ask you, why am I failing? And like I pastored for three and a half years. I was a youth pastor, and then I was a church planted for a couple of years. It was hard. Yeah. But knowing what I know now, I would do things totally different, you know? So it's, and it all depends too on, you know, timing, you know? So I would say pastors ask you both questions, you know, how can I get started? How come I'm failing? And, you just, you know, you try to, it's like almost like kitchen nightmares. Yeah. You know, one time, you know what I'm talking about.
Can you yell that?
Yeah. You know, it's like, hey, can we fix this right now? Because if we don't fix this right now, the people are going to leave. Yeah. And then what's going to happen? This is going to be an empty building. And they'll go somewhere else. So we don't want that. If you're a church and you're trying to plant a church, you got to realize right away, you know, you got to make sure that you have certain things in place. Yeah. One of them, very important thing, is leadership.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's probably the most key element in all of it is
leadership. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to tell you that. Yeah.
That's what you just said.
Yeah.
That's what you said. Well, cool, man.
También I want a burrito.
I know we're hitting our hour mark, and, you know, and you're hungry and I'm hungry. But and anything you want to plug here in Modesto?
Not plug. I would say, you know, this is an important time in the world. You know, let's talk about that for a second. Pope. The blood moons.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's in a couple of days here. And now you're scaring me. All right. All right, go on as I sip my energy drink.
But I want to say this because there's a lot of, there's fear, and people are freaking out. You know, you see all kind. I read today that the Mormon Church is like, oh, they're freaking out. You know, there's just all kinds of conspiracy theories and some things we don't know, some things we don't need to know. But I want to say this is that the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. And that there's another scripture I like. It says God will never leave us or forsake us. He's with us always, even to the end of the age. And I just read this the other day, that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if there's a fear, and if you feel like right now in this season, like you don't know what's going to happen, or what can we do? Should we buy stock up on water? You know, I would say the first thing, the most important thing to do is to call upon the name of the Lord, because it doesn't matter how much water you have, doesn't matter how deep your shelter is, God's the only one who can save you. Yeah. So if I'm coaching or if I'm mentoring, whatever, everything has to point back to Jesus. The blood moons, the Pope, it all points back to Jesus. We need him. We got to have him in our lives. And my parents used to tell me something really important. They said, because when we were younger in the 80s, there was a prediction, you know, 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 88. I don't know if you remember that book.
No, I don't.
There was a book out, 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 88. I remember our church was under a fear. They were getting water. They were like, hey, we got to get candles and all this stuff. My mom used to tell me this, my dad, they would say, when you hear things like that, if you have fear, if you feel paralyzed and you feel like, oh my God, what's going to happen? You have to take inventory, because God did not give us...
Inventory of your heart.
Yeah. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So he didn't make us like he made Adam. And when he blew the breath of life into Adam's nostrils, didn't say, oh, I forgot to put fear inside the people. That's why fear feels so weird. It's almost like a sickness, you know. You get sick, it stops you. It paralyzes you. It makes you feel terrible. And fear is like that. It doesn't belong. It's alien to our body. And so it's not in our DNA. It's not in our coding. You know, God didn't make us that way. So if you feel fear, if you feel like, man, what's going to happen? I feel, the Bible says in the last days, men's hearts will fail them. Why? Because they're so freaked out. They're so afraid. But the answer has always been the same. what Pastor once said to me, and I never forget it. He said, whatever your problem is, the answer is Jesus. No matter what your problem is, the answer is Jesus. Well, I don't have this, or what about that? Jesus. You know, I've heard a lot. I've heard a lot today. You know, get on your knees. That was weird.
You just got a cat or something?
It wasn't like a cat, huh? It is a cat.
That's crazy. Crazy cat.
So get on your knees and call out to him, because the Bible says if you call on him, you'll be saved. The only thing that you can do in this time, you can't stop nothing from happening. Mm-hmm. You can't, you know, you can't say, let's go hide, you know, in a shelter and wait till mm-hmm. the bombs. No. The only thing you can do is ask God to, hey, Jesus, come into my heart.
Get right or get left.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to give the whole sinner's prayer.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. Do that real quick and we'll
Jesus,
close up.
Come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. And, you know, I'm sick and I got to say this too. I'm sick and tired of hearing people say, think it in your mind. I'm sick and tired of hearing that. And I will say right now, the Bible doesn't say think it in your mind. It says confess with your mouth. Yep. It's easy to confess a lot. Oh, I'm a Republican. People don't think that in their head. Mm-hmm. You don't see the Republican people saying, we all think in our mind that we're Republicans. No, they say it with their mouth. They say it with their flags. They say it with their as they can. So I'm not a believer in, it's not biblical. Think it in your mind, you guys.
It's like Raiders. I wish the Raider fans would just keep that. Just keep it in your mind. Don't speak it. Don't.
Well, we'll see when they play the Chargers this year. But yeah, don't think it in your mind. Say it with your mouth. Confess with your mouth. Unto confession. Belief is confession. And then you receive Christ. You can't. There's no other way. There's no formula for it. No. Let's all be quiet. And let's just think about this.
Right? Bow your heads. Close your eyes.
Anyway, so confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart.
Believe, receive.
Yes. Blab it and grab it. So I would say to people.
There you have it.
There you have it. Say, today, if you don't know Jesus, if you really want to have peace in your life, it's today. There's no better day. There's no better moment. There's no better time than right now to say, Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you as Lord and Savior. Wash me of my sins. Take me. I'm yours. Put your Holy Spirit inside of me. It's not like you got to wait for 3 years for God to give you something. You want it, he'll give it to you. Ask, seek, knock. It's yours.
You shall receive.
Yeah.
There you have it.
There you have it.
There you have it. And you just got connected.
There you go there.
There you go there. You just got connected. That was a word from Bo. Bo, yeah, I know it's Bo Arrows, but yeah. I always tease you about your last name because sometimes you spell it differently and you just, so anyway.
I don't want to tell them what you call me.
Yeah, don't.
Okay.
So here we are. We're Modesto.
Hungry.
We're hungry. We've been going all day long. It's like 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, and we've been going since you picked me up at 9 o'clock. And
that's what we do. Though.
And we drove through the night.
You did.
I drove up from LA.
And, LA.
From Los Angeles.
LA.
Los Angeles. So we are tired. We are hungry.
Famished.
And we are gonna have to sign out from the clubhouse.
Club.
So. Thank you guys, man. You guys want to hear anything else from Bo or have any questions or prayer or just need to be mentored or just need a spiritual smack in the face, hit up Bo. Where can we find you, Bo?
Spiritual RKO.
Yeah. Nice. I like that. Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Spiritual RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah. They can go to Facebook and my mug.
And just search them. But you have your fan page or your...
Yeah, Bo Harrows.
You got Bo Harrows page, and then you got your personal page.
Yeah.
Or Twitter. What's your Twitter?
Heroes for Life. H-E-R-O-Z.
See what I mean?
For Life.
See what I mean? One R?
One R.
See what I mean? He switches the name.
For security reasons.
No, you got to change that one up. Heroes for Life.
And then Instagram.
What's the name on that? What's the handle?
I think it's Bo Harrows. I think. I haven't. God. I gotta use it. I don't use it that much.
For a guy who teaches and handles social media for else's. Churches,
that's what it is.
God. And your Periscope?
It's the same as my Twitter.
Which is what?
Heroes for Life. Heroes for All Life. Right.
Well, there you have it.
There you go. There.
There you go. There. Now I think we're gonna go eat pizza or do something somewhere.
It's gotta Tacos, be something
the taco
good.
Truck or something.
Yeah, let's go to the taco truck.
But
famous Modesto taco truck.
We are signing out from Modesto, California. We are exhausted from.
But I need to say something before
some,
we go.
Putting in some kingdom
Real
work.
Quick.
Handling your father's business.
I need to say something.
Say what you got to say. Get Real it off quick. Your chest. And let's get some food.
I want to say I appreciate, you know, everything you're doing in San Diego. People that are listening to this, you know, they need to get behind you because you're doing a lot of good things. You got Our Savior Watches, you know, that Kickstarter just started. People need to go on Our Savior and they need to pledge.
I agree. They should.
They should. Those are beautiful. Look at that on your wrist. It's all shiny and everything.
It's all shiny and now.
And shiny. And get a watch, you know, for Christmas. Christmas is coming.
Yeah.
So we need to get those watches, get those all sold. And I believe that God is going to bless these efforts. And also, you know, go on to Love Thy Neighbor, lovethyneighbormovement.com. Yeah. Download our app. People need to download the app, Love Thy Neighbor. Go to iTunes, go to Google Play Store and get the app.
We're going
to
do a heavy push on that here in December coming up here because... Yeah. Working on a couple of big things in December and hopefully kickstart our Indiegogo and get a couple of funds going.
Yeah.
And
we really need a lot of support now because we have a lot of friends. A lot of people on Facebook follow us. They follow you on Twitter. They follow you on Instagram. But we know it's one thing to say we like what you're doing. We believe it. But it's another thing to put your money where your mouth is. Yeah. And so I was just telling Dan Freeman today, you know, he was trying to give me something. I was like, no, I pay my way every time. And I believe that there's a blessing from that. This is good ground. People see what we're doing on Facebook. They hear what you're doing. Now we got the podcast. They can hear it. So help us out. You know, help us. If you can't do it, if you can't go into this juvenile hall, if you can't go into Soledad State Prison and be afraid shaking in the bathroom, you know.
at least shoot a couple bucks this way.
Shoot a couple bucks
and,
that way.
And, you know, I know it's one of those things because it's not like the Red Cross or it's not, you know, a big old organization where people are, well, how do I know where my money's going? Well, just know that even if a normal, I mean, we are normal, but I'm saying.
I'm normal.
Just any person wanted to go drive up to Modesto to go into juvenile hall, it takes at least $100 worth of dollars in gas. Plus bringing your family and food and the whole thing, whatever. Or even just us driving to Soledad, which was like 3 hours away from here. It took some money to do that.
And we paid for that with our own money. And we didn't get any money for doing that.
No, it's just on the love.
Yeah.
And you know, even up to this very day, every single Love Thy Neighbor event that we've done since 2010 has been... just on the love. We don't make a dime.
No.
You know.
Somebody asked me that the other day.
Yeah, we don't make a dime. Every event has been free. Free to the public. Everything that we've given away has been donated by the community in San Diego and Modesto and LA and everybody that's gotten behind us, like the roller derby team in Los Angeles, all the stuff.
Texas.
Yeah, everybody that's got it's. We don't make a dime off it. We just give.
Right.
And
we don't make a dime, but we give our time.
Yeah, there you go, and hopefully, you know, we're hoping this year to at least not have to come out the pocket as much. And you know, I'm working on some right now. I'm kind of in the midst of talking to a couple of big San Diego celebrities about doing the San Diego event. So you know, we're really trying to make an impact this year in San Diego, and I want to be able to bless our guests.
Yeah,
the people that come out to do it.
Yeah.
Not even necessarily that they're asking, but
yeah.
at least thank
Honor
them for
them.
Their time. Yeah. So, you know, I want to be able to do that. So we are going to be launching the Indiegogo soon to kind of just ask for some help on a couple things. And, there, you know, the first year that we did it, we, and I even hate talking about this or even mentioning
I know,
that,
that's why I'm bringing it up.
Yeah.
Because I know you won't.
But, you know, the first year that we did it, we helped the family, we bought them a Christmas tree and did groceries and gift cards, and we did all stuff. And we had a family life group from Cornerstone Church that kind of pitched in and helped out do all the stuff. And we want to continue to do the stuff, and we don't always just want it to be Christmas time. We want to do it year-round, so we're asking for help to make that a reality.
And it doesn't have to be money. It could be, hey, we got a brand new goods. Car that we want to give away.
Yeah. We got a brand new Cadillac.
We had a car donated away. Last year.
Yeah, we did. You got that too.
Yeah, I mean, but that's possible.
Yeah.
And people have cars, boats, planes, buildings. Yeah. They have bonds, stocks.
Yeah.
They have...
send it on over.
Trust funds, whatever. Yeah. You know, we can use the help. And you're right, we're not the Red Cross. But... we're doing things that Red Cross isn't doing.
Yeah, I think that's some stuff that's a little more personal and it's one-on-one and you see where your stuff
is going. Our neighborhoods.
Yeah, yeah.
Helping people where we came from.
In our own backyards. So
we need your help.
So we're going to need a lot of people's help coming up here. But, you know, I know we're kind of running out of time here, but...
No, we're not.
but Love Thy Neighbor...
Now you've got me up.
Modesto chapter...
Our Savior watches.
Hit up Bo for any of the stuff you want to get going in Modesto, and Bo will handle it in Bodesto. So Bo loves thy neighbor up here, and it means a lot that he's flying the flag up here and he's keeping the stuff going, even while I'm in San Diego.
Yeah.
So much love for that, and
I want to become a rapper.
And if somebody needs a mentor, what would happen? Can they reach out to you? And how does that work? Or one of these pastors that needs some help with some stuff?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely open for.
What do you charge for this, or what's your services?
I did Christian music.
Liar.
I'm not lying. I did promotion of Christian music for a couple of years.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, Unity Clan. And I never charged a cent. I've actually promoted other people and never charged a cent for that. And I'm talking like put concerts, the whole concerts together.
Okay. Well, that wasn't the answer I was looking for.
But I'm saying I never charge.
Every man is worthy of his wages.
Yeah, it's true. And I probably would be a rich man if I charged for everything. But I'm open to honorariums and love and, you know, a taco.
Burritos.
A burrito.
A watch.
You know, a Our Savior watch.
Some Fight Labs.
Fight Labs, Sunny Sandoval, signed lock of hair.
But some Monisho earphones.
Ammunition earphones or whatever you have. But what I'm saying to you is...
I did score. I got you some.
Yeah,
of these.
You did. Yeah. I appreciate that. So, no, if somebody wants my help or they want to get in touch with me, you know, let's talk. Let's pray. Let's see what God has and what's your vision, what's your dream, how do you want to do it? If you have a plan, let's definitely talk about it. I'm definitely not the end-all to the game, but I know a little something. I've been some places. I've had some struggles and some tough things happen. So I know what it takes. You know, and it definitely takes having somebody believe in you.
Yeah, I believe that. Well, there you have it, Bo Harrows.
Ruben Torres.
The influencer that influences the influencers.
The man, the myth, the legend, Ruben Torres.
And
I like this. This is really cool.
Well, see, now you got to do your own podcast. The Bo Harrows.
People might think I want to just hear myself, though.
You can sit there and you can talk all day long just about whatever you want to say.
I'll read the phone book. Yeah,
just do it. Just do it. All right. Well, we got to go. Let's
number
go
two.
Get something to
Second
eat.
Time.
And love you guys, man. The Connected Show. Thanks for listening and putting up with our inside jokes and all that good stuff. Reach out to Bo Harrows on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Download Periscope, the Love Thy Neighbor app.
Download the Love Thy Neighbor app.
Visit the website.
Visit the site. Donate. If you want to do something for me, make sure you share this podcast. Make sure you share it on iTunes. Share Our Savior Watches. Subscribe, rate, and review. And tell your friends, tell your grandma, tell everyone about the show. And if you guys know an interesting story or anything that that you know you think I need to cover, hit me up, let me know, and we will work on it. And today's show is brought to you by Fight Labs, right? Fight Labs
in the cage.
in the cage or on the stage?
In the cage, on the stage.
Fight Labs.
Fight Labs.
Fight supplements. Vitamins.
Vitamins.
So, and that's why Bo's all hyped up.
I am.
Because he had chocolate.
I had ground Cocoa Krispies or something.
Yeah, and it smelled really good.
Yeah.
So, but get your Fight Labs, fightlabs.com, and make sure you visit oursaviorwatches.com and handle that. And we are out, signing out from Modesto, California on a nice Saturday night. And we are out of here. So God bless you guys. Keep us in prayer. LoveThyNeighborMovement.com. That's what we're doing. That's how we do it. The Connected Show, Connected with Ruben Torres, and we are out. God bless.